So our scripture today comes from first of all, let me say Happy Father's Day before we get into the scripture and the message and so forth. Happy Father's Day to all here and watching out there. We have some gifts prepared for the fathers that are here in the sanctuary. That's certainly an important job and a vital one, and one that we take very serious. We hope you have a very special day today. So our scripture today comes from Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Apologize. I have far too many electronic toys up here that I have to keep track of. I'm not used to that. So our topic today is all about control. And it would be an understatement to say that we are living in some strange and some very difficult times today. But we'll get to that later, and we'll spend more time on that later. Our daughter, Amanda, was married in Orlando 8 years ago by Pastor Andy Searles. And one of the nice things about this COVID crisis, if there is such a thing, over the last several months, is that I've had an opportunity to observe other worship services and other people's messages and deliveries and that kind of stuff. And I saw one that Pastor Andy did, and in it he kind of talked about, really kind of fantasized about having a remote control to control our daily lives. And how interesting that would be, and how cool that would be. So I reached out to him and I asked him if I could steal his idea and develop it a little and whatever. Excuse me. And he said, of course, run with it. So we're going to talk today for a few minutes about faith, life, and remote controls. Whoop. We can't back up. So the whole idea of control is an interesting discussion, particularly for us mere mortals who think and believe that we always have to be in control of our lives and the things that happen. Speaking of remote controls, those of you younger folks in the audience, maybe not this particular audience, but out there in Facebook land, so you younger folks may be surprised to know that we've always had remote controls in the house. And the way it worked was that within the family, the older kids, whoever would command whoever the youngest child was to get up and change the channel on the TV, or turn the volume up, or turn it down, or turn the light on, or turn the light off, or whatever. And I know firsthand how it feels to be a human remote control, because I have three older siblings. And I was that person who had to get up and change the channel. And if I did it fast enough, I heard about it. And then God blessed me with a younger brother and younger sister. So then I could pass that little chore of being a two-legged human remote control onto them. So as humans, we always want to be in control of our lives, wishing we could hit the fast forward button to get through those tough times, get through those difficult times, that we experience, or hit the slow button to when times are good and times are great, so we could make it last a little bit longer and enjoy it a little more. Or maybe hit the mute when we don't want to hear something that's uncomfortable or makes us uncomfortable. But life doesn't work that way. Each day brings its own set of challenges and surprises, many of which we never could have imagined. When the idea for this topic first came to me, I guess when I first stole it from Pastor Andy, let me say it like that, I thought to myself, wow, controlling our lives in the context of a remote control, that's something certainly everybody can relate to, and that might be a great little topic and whatever. Little did I know, however, how our relatively quiet world at that time would be turned upside down. When you think COVID and civil unrest and rioting and looting and defunding police departments, the list goes on and on. Just a few months ago, the economy was on fire, and now our cities are on fire. Just a few months ago, employers couldn't find enough employees. There were jobs everywhere, and now we're having to go to people and tell them that you may not have a job to come back to when this COVID thing settles down and how it settles down. And unemployment was at historic lows, and now unemployment is at historic highs. Nothing but positive and great news. But then, in a matter of weeks, it all comes to a screeching halt, and all of our lives are completely disrupted. Who wouldn't want to have a fast forward to get through some of this COVID business? Please, can we mute the bad news that seems to be out there? Speaking of control, how about cows? Cows don't have any control over their lives. They don't have any control over their days, over what happens to them. Really don't hardly have any control over what they eat or what they drink. It all gets provided for them. Those of you that know me know that I was going to find a way to get cows into this discussion about control and so forth. But in reality, they have no control over their lives, but yet they don't fret. They don't worry. We have a saying in the cow business that no cow ever died of boredom. They love the same thing every day. Matter of fact, they don't like it when you change things up. But I've never heard of a cow dying of an ulcer, an ulcerated stomach from too much anxiety and too much stress and too much worry either. So maybe there's a lesson there. And maybe maybe there's something we can learn from as two-legged people from our four-legged friends. So our scripture today provides some great direction for us, as usual, from Isaiah. But I also found a couple others that I think are valuable. One is from Luke 12, verse 22 through 26. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, and do not be anxious what you will eat, or about your body, or what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of your life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Kind of puts it in perspective, you know, worrying and fretting. Life is more than food and more than clothing. The clothing one is not hard for me. Life is more than food. I struggle with that one sometimes. I do like to eat. God has reminded us of that throughout the scriptures, however. So we shouldn't worry about God. We shouldn't worry because God will take care of the big stuff and God will take care of the little stuff. Worrying doesn't change things, big or small, except to make those problems appear worse than they really are. So the question becomes, why let ourselves get so worked up into a frenzy over big things? Cast your cares on God and then trust in his wisdom. From Joshua 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I like these passages that are straight and direct and right, you know, right to the heart, and I don't really have to think about them. So I'll read this one again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the reality is we don't need a life remote control. God provides that for us. He doesn't guarantee there will not be difficult times, not be COVID times, not be painful times, but he assures us that he will see us through. As it says in Isaiah, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I don't know about you, but I find those words very comforting. They tell me not to become disenchanted. I needn't worry, although I certainly will. Someone is watching out for me. Someone is strengthening me. I'm not alone, and I'm being watched out for even in the toughest and the most difficult of times. What a beautiful and comforting message. And I would say timely also as we deal with the effects of COVID, civil unrest, and the elephant in the room, racism. It is real, it exists, and it is uncomfortable. But God is there to lead us. It is our job to be led, to trust and believe what the Bible tells us, that we need not be afraid, need not be worried, nor anxious, nor fearful. He is there, and he has a plan. So when you kind of, or as I prepared for this message about controlling your life and control in general, and as you can imagine, when you do some research and you Google that, you get all kinds of things, right? I mean, everybody's got advice. Some good, not so good. Some free, some very expensive. So some are very happy to sell it to you. One of the quotes that I found comes from Charles Swindoll, and I'm sure you all have heard it. Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it. And I think that's a lot of what we're talking about today, because that 10%, things are going to happen. COVID's going to happen. And if it's not COVID today, it'll be something else tomorrow. Health issues, hip issues, tornadoes, hurricanes, losing our job, who knows, whatever. Things are going to happen, things are going to occur, but what matters is that 90% of what we do and how we react to the things that happen. Do we go to God? Do we take our trials and tribulations and problems to God? Do we trust and believe that he's going to be there, has always been there, and will always be there to help us through those? That's the 90% in my mind. So I also found this guy, this John Fox, who is a personal trainer, and he had a long list of suggestions about improving your life, controlling your life, etc. And I picked out a few of them here that I thought were good. I wanted to share this morning. And the first one is do something that scares you at least once a week. Now, I really like that because to me, what that says is make yourself uncomfortable. Push your own personal envelope. If you don't want to do it once a week, I mean, that's like 52 times a year. That's understandable. But do it monthly. I don't know. Do it on some regular basis. But the key is don't be afraid to push yourself into an uncomfortable place. Stop spending so much time on social media. I do have one caveat to that. That doesn't mean on Sunday morning when we're broadcasting our services. Don't everybody run up out there and turn off your computer and not spend time on social media now. But it's a nice segue into the next couple that are, and I combined two here. Build your network, make new friends, and I think that's great advice. It's not impossible, but it's harder to do on social media and online and whatever as opposed to in person. I do believe God expects that we are sociable people, and we interact and love to interact, and that's part of the reason this COVID thing is so frustrating for us. We can't gather here as a church family. But you can never have enough friends, obviously, and you can never have a broad enough network. And the great thing that happens is that the more people you meet and the broader your network, the more you learn, the more you're exposed to other people, to other things, how they do things and how they live their life. And some of that can help you, and you can help them as well. The last one, fast once a week. Nah, that ain't going to happen. Not for me. Not for me. I think it's a great idea. If you want to do it, you choose to do it, that's fine. That's your choice. It's America. But John Fox, and none of you are married to Susan Hageman, okay? So if you had to smell that cooking throughout the house and then see it on a plate and whatever, fasting would not be high on your list, just like it's not on my, although maybe that's one of those uncomfortable things I should push myself into. I don't know. So I went to the Bible then, too, and I said, well, so what does the Bible say in a couple different passages? The Bible says a lot about control, but I picked a couple different passages that I think are kind of nice. From Timothy, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. So the key there, I think, is that, as and this is going to be a recurring theme, We need not fear. We need not be afraid of tomorrow, of things we can't control, that are out of our control, because God gave us the power and the love and the self-control to be able to make it through those things and deal with those challenges. From Romans, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So one takeaway there is that none of us should waste time or effort or energy on grudges and paybacks and wanting to avenge someone or whatever else. You know, God will take care of that. If nothing else, on Judgment Day, God will take care of that. So we don't need to spend a lot of time there. Corinthians, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. So one of the thoughts I had about that passage is that if we exercise self-control and we train ourselves as Christians, stay with the athletic analogy, we train ourselves as Christians and live according to the Bible, God promises us everlasting life. He promises us a wreath that is imperishable, that lives forever, not one that we just have for a week or so. From John, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. There again, we're talking about fear. The Bible and God telling us we don't need to worry. He's there. He's got it under control. It's taken care of. He's got his remote control working just fine to take care of us. So we need not labor over that one. And my personal favorite, last one, comes from Proverbs. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And again, this is just, it's very elegant, very simple. Like me, I'm not very elegant, but I'm very simple, I can assure you. But what it says to me is that we wake up every day and we got a list of things that we're gonna do and we're gonna accomplish. And maybe it's not every day, but every week or every month or every year or whatever. And then we feel real good about doing those kind of things. But the reality is God was in control of those steps. It wasn't just us, and it wasn't just our list. So you and I need a remote control for our TVs, for our stereos, for our cars now. Even for our ceiling fans. We have remote controls at home for our ceiling fans. But we don't need one for our lives. If we've accepted God in our lives, we don't need a remote control because we already have one. And because we have God to act as our remote control, we don't need to worry about muting or volume control or fast forward or slowing time down or even turning life off. All we have to do is put our trust and belief in God to be there for us and allow Him to guide our lives, to guide our journey remotely. Gracious Lord, You guide us whether we know it, admit it, like it, or not. You are always there with us, for us, and around us. You continue to guide and direct us on our individual journeys while helping us to be stronger in our faith, that You will always protect, direct, and guide us. Amen.